So once again, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to worship wherever you are. It's just so great to know that we're all joined in one spirit as brothers and sisters in Christ. We here in Skegness have had another really busy week. Elsie has been continuing to get out the autumn stock and decide what of the summer stock to put on the sale rail and what to put into storage. Thank you again to Eleanor, who works so hard despite her arm still being in a brace. And thanks to Stuart, who also worked hard this week. Following a third fall since she was discharged from hospital in Yorkshire, Margaret ended up being admitted to Pilgrim Hospital last weekend. She's still there while they try and find a suitable plan for her. On Friday, Kathy went to Pilgrim for what she thought was a consultation, only to be admitted for treatment on her knee. We hold Kathy and Margaret in our prayers. I'd just like to remind you that during our worship today, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. As usual, the order of service is available online for those of you who listen via the internet. So now let us join in our worship. Come to hear God's inspired word. Come with open hearts to hear its teaching. Come with humble hearts to hear its instruction. Come with minds willing to hear its challenge. For unto Jesus be glory, honour and praise. Let us lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Let's sing Majesty, worship his majesty.
Majesty, yes. Worship his majesty. Let's find us worshiping.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And then the Apostle Paul wrote, Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And in the letter of James we read, The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You know, when we pray, God hears us. When the time is right, God responds. When we pray, God knows our needs. When His time is right, God meets our needs. So let us come to God in prayer now. Let's pray. Lord, we meet to worship and to bring you our prayers. Teach us to be patient as we wait for your response. We know that you hear all our prayers, however they are made and whoever we are. Give us faith to trust your awesome love and care for us. Help us to pray, and may we never lose heart. May we always persevere. Lord, in our worship, may we build up our faith. In our worship, we earnestly await your grace. So, Lord, now we come to you, our risen King, for we delight to bring you praise. Amen. Let's sing, Come People of the Risen King.
Let's invite you to stand with us.
Our theme this month is growing our faith, and already this month, as we have explored this theme, we have been challenged through scripture at our Sunday meetings to take stock of our faith as we look at ways in which we can grow our faith. The questions we need to ask are we growing the kingdom of God in our lives? Are we growing the kingdom of God in our communities? Today we'll be looking at how growing our faith requires that we persevere. When there is an important goal in sight, people will persevere in an effort to attain it. There can be no more an important goal for each of us than growing our faith, no matter what stage we're at on our spiritual journey. Today's Bible readings encourage us with pictures of perseverance and help to remind us why and how to persist in our faith and in our prayers. We will be hearing more about this later in our meeting, and what we will hear is a direct message from God through the scriptures. More and more today we live in a world of competing voices. Everyone has a point of view or something to sell, but there is one voice that has spoken consistently over the years. That is the voice of God. Sadly, sometimes what God has to say has been twisted to fit certain agendas. Sometimes it's been foisted onto people with too much force. But the voice of God has spoken. God has spoken through the prophets, through Jesus, through the disciples, and indeed directly to those with ears to hear. He speaks of love and forgiveness and mercy, of good news for all. God's message is the promise of a greater treasure than any we are like to find on earth. It's up to us to decide whether or not to persevere in growing our faith. Okay, I know that's not an easy task, but rest assured, God has promised to be with us every step of the journey, and God never breaks his promises. So today especially, we pray that the Holy Spirit will stir and inspire us and all who join our meeting, that we may spur each other on towards love and good deeds as we persevere in growing our faith. We pray that we may not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, and that we may be prepared and equipped to do every good work our Lord asks of us. Actually, our Bible study this week is also about faith, a faith that works. The reading is from James chapter 2, verse 26, where we read, "As the body without a spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." The word deeds is often interpreted as works, and much controversy has arisen over the years regarding the nature of salvation. Is it achieved by faith alone, or is it achieved by doing good deeds or works? Well, I encourage you to take a look, as the conclusion in the Bible study is that what we're looking at here is not a faith with doing good deeds or works, but about a faith that works, which is why it's so important that we grow our faith with perseverance. Well, more of this later, but now we are going to sing a new song as we remind ourselves that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So please join in singing Thy Word. So we're going to pray now. Let's be still so that God can hear us and we can hear him. Let us pray. Lord, you are our keeper, the one who watches over us. You are always present, ever loving, ever faithful. You are creator and redeemer. We praise you and thank you for your kindness and justice and for all that you are. Lord God, you are eternal love, whose word speaks love to our hearts. We adore you and praise your holy name. Christ our Lord, you are love incarnate, whose gospel showed us a new way. We adore you and praise your holy name. Holy Spirit, you open the scriptures to us, shedding light to aid our understanding. We adore you and praise your holy name. Lord God, blessed Trinity, forgive us when we have closed our eyes to the things that matter, when we have prioritized the trivial surface matters over urgent needs and deep-seated injustice. Forgive us when we have chosen to look away from those who need us the most. Forgive us when we have stretched ourselves so thin that we don't have time and energy for that which you call us to do and to be. Lord, forgive us and restore us, we pray. Give each of us what we need to live, love and pray persistently in the power and counsel of your Spirit. Loving God, we know you hear us. You not only hear us, you accept us as your children. Surround us with grace and forgiveness. Thank you for your unconditional love. Lord, thank you that you are our place of help. Where others fail us and circumstances change, you remain and you are unchanging. Your love supports us, underpinning us with a strength beyond ourselves. For we know that before the throne of God above, we have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for us. Our names are graven on your hands. Our names are written on your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, your unconditional love. Amen. So let's sing Before the Throne of God Above.
Thank you.
As I said, the theme of our meeting today is perseverance, and we will be hearing what Jesus has to say about this in our gospel reading. One of the things we are encouraged to persevere with is prayer, and not just for ourselves, but for the needs of others, people in our own families, in our communities, in our country, in other countries, indeed, anyone who needs prayer. We have all reached this point on our spiritual journey on different paths. We've all experienced God's love in different ways. We've all prayed and been prayed for. Here we are, one family in God, and we pray for each other as a family. So now, we pray for our needs, for those and those of others, in the certain knowledge that everyone we pray for will receive a blessing from God. Although I'm leading us in prayer, each of you will have your own special requests. And it's important that you pray those special requests as we pray. So let us now pray. Lord, as we look around at what's going on in the world you created, we have deep sorrow for the way in which so many people are treated by others. And Lord, as the guns and sirens of the Middle East are quieter, remember those caught up in that conflict. Remember those in Gaza who have returned to their homes to find nothing but wreckage and destruction. Remember those who mourn the death of loved ones, and those who have been subject to imprisonment and cruel handling as hostages. Remember all the pain and anguish that thousands of people have and will continue to feel. We pray for this tentative ceasefire to continue, and we pray for a final peace for the future. We pray, Lord, for the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. Lord, we persist in praying for peace, knowing that it will come. We ask your blessing on the meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And Lord, as autumn commences, as the leaves change colour, we remember those who prefer the light and warmth of summer and fear the cold and darkness of this season. Remember before you all those people who are facing change. Remember those getting used to being away from home, at college and university, and adjusting to new lives in new places. Remember before you, Lord, all those for whom this is a difficult time, the needy and the vulnerable, and we seek your help for them. And Lord, as Parliament has returned after their long break, we pray for all those in power and opposition. We pray for those who aim to make the lives of others better and who are motivated by their love for you. We pray for those who make big and important decisions and whose words can affect the lives of all people in our country. And we pray against those who seek fame and influence for the wrong reasons. And we ask that they may be filled with wisdom and caution. We pray for all in local and national politics and seek your guidance for them. Remember and pray for all those facing sadness, sickness and fear. Remember those who have recently lost family or friends who were close to them and feel that mourning and emptiness inside. We pray for those who are struggling with their health, who are patiently waiting for treatment or who are facing an uncertain future. And we pray for all in need and ask for your hope and healing to fill them as we pray. We pray for our own loved ones and for our communities. And Lord, in the stillness of this time and place, we bring to you the names of those we know who are on our hearts at this time. Lord, we pray for all who preach your word, for all Christian leaders in our churches, indeed for all your people. You call us to pray, to work at growing our faith in your kingdom and not to give up. You care about every detail in our lives, from the smallest to the more complex. We place all these issues in your hands, for on you we can depend. And Lord, we know that love songs from heaven are filling the earth, bringing great hope to all nations. Evil has prospered, but truth is alive. In this dark world, your light still shines. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's sing Love Songs from Heaven. Once again, we pause to make our offering to the Lord. And I would just like to thank everyone who contributed to our harvest offering. Let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make. As we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Once again, Lord, we thank you for our church. And we especially ask a blessing on the work we do here for the kingdom. Help us to continue to give generously of our resources, both time and money, so that we may continue the work you have appointed us to in this small corner of your vineyard. Amen. So now we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and before we do so, we will start by saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Let's say together, Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised. What have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us, that these gifts of bread and wine may become for us your body and blood, healing, forgiving, and making us whole, and that we may become for you, your body, loving and caring in the world, until your kingdom comes. Amen. The Lord Jesus, among friends, gathered round a table on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." And look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood, which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now share the bread and the wine. The body of Christ keep you in God's love for eternity. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. So let us now say together, Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us, shake us, remake us. No longer is what we have been important. It is what, with you, we can be, starting now. Amen. So as I said, the theme of our meeting today is perseverance. Before we consider Jesus' teaching on perseverance, we turn again to the second letter to Timothy. Perseverance, like everything else associated with our faith, must be based on what we learn and read in our scriptures. The message that Paul is giving his young friend Timothy is, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. In other words, persevere, regardless of what or who may try and turn you away from the truth. Paul reminds Timothy that the scriptures are inspired, literally God-breathed, and they are to be used as a basis for all teaching. And Paul warns Timothy that false preachers will arise who ignore scripture and do their own thing, seeking simply to please their hearers. And Paul also urges Timothy to persevere in his ministry in good times and bad. He also reminds him that he is answerable to God. Let's hear now from the second letter to Timothy.
The reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to chapter 4, verse 5. But as you continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of this appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, of course, in the Bible, we are given so many vivid accounts of the life and teaching of Jesus. We read of miracles that are amazing, even to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, but more so to the crowds who always turned out in their thousands to hear and see Jesus. We read of people who have been healed and taught. But today we're going to hear of something that all of us have done in our lifetime, in one way or another, nagging until we get what we want. Today, our reading from Luke's Gospel, we hear about a woman who feels she's on the receiving end of an injustice, and she's determined to receive justice. She keeps on nagging away and eventually gets listened to. Let's hear now from Luke's Gospel.
The reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see what she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for this chosen ones? Who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This parable which Jesus told of the judge and the widow leads to a very searching question. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, will his followers have persevered? Will he find faith? That's to say that all the signs are that he's going to have to look very, very hard. People just aren't interested anymore in either searching for faith or when they find it to actually persevere at growing that faith. They may say that they are, but in reality, everything points to the fact that more and more people are simply abandoning faith in today's society. Unless that is, they have good teachers who lead with the need for strict discipline. Well, I'm not suggesting for one minute that we return to the old days when preachers breathed the fire of God and promised damnation. Mind you, on TBN, some of the preachers thankfully still preach this way. It's great that faith leaders in the Christian church are not afraid to stand up and be counted for their faith. How can you expect people to persevere themselves if their leaders don't? Mind you, that didn't work when the Hebrew slaves were led into the desert. Their leaders led by example, but that still didn't stop the people complaining and grumbling. You know, today we're bombarded by so many alternatives to a disciplined faith. It's not surprising, as this was foretold by the first evangelists. Paul writes to Timothy, "I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Isn't this the same situation today? People will listen to what they want to hear. And what they want to hear is what makes excuses for their lifestyle or their lack of discipline in the faith. Of course, we've all been there. Mind you, we can all persevere when it suits us. In the parable, Jesus told the widow is persistent in her search for justice. On the other hand, the judge is equally persistent in his quest to ignore her. It's one of those situations where someone wins and someone loses. For one, there is joy, for the other, despair. It's a bit like that in sports. Elsie and I have been watching videos of grandson Henry competing in rugby and many other sports throughout the summer. The latest ones have been of him wrestling. He did lose one bout, but finally came through with a gold medal. Elsie always tells him that when he loses, which isn't often, to treat it as a learning experience. In all competitive sports, someone wins and someone loses. Someone has joy and someone has to face despair. You know, life is often a muddle of joy and despair. Both emotions sometimes present in the same day or even in the same situation. Navigating life's ups and downs can be complex. The gospel story of the persistent widow hints at some of the emotions of human existence. The widow's despair at the situation she finds herself in is felt through her plea for justice. And when eventually granted, we can imagine her joy. At the heart of this short parable is a woman acting with determination and tenacity, despite the difficulties she faces. And her persistence is eventually rewarded. And the parable closes by drawing the parable to us, inviting similar perseverance in our petitions to God, more commonly known, of course, as prayer. The message of this parable is for us to persevere in growing our faith. But it's also a parallel message about persevering in prayer. You know, the evangelist Max Lucado said, "Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference." And of course, the other evangelist, Billy Graham, said, "True prayer is a way of life, not just for use in cases of emergency. Make it a habit, and when the need arises, you will be in practice. Prayer, of course, is the work of the church, collectively and individually. Whether it's silent prayer, whether it just flows from our hearts or from some form of liturgical prayer, or in any other form, prayer is a channel for our relationship with God. If prayer appears to go unanswered, if it seems like God doesn't always rescue us, or if we don't know how to pray about the big, difficult questions, then how can we be encouraged to persevere in prayer? Well, you know that when something is really important, your child, your future, you persevere in hope. The need for perseverance through and despite difficulty and opposition is a common thread in both today's readings. The widow kept coming to the unhelpful and obstructive judge in her search for justice, even though she was turned away many times. And Paul urges Timothy in his work to be persistent. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. In other words, whether the time is favourable or unfavourable. Of course, such persistence is never easy. And Timothy is warned he must endure hardship. Jesus says that we are likely to experience suffering and injustice in the world. And he tells us this will happen to him. He says in Luke chapter 17, "For the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." But remember, our perseverance will be rewarded if we continue to grow in our faith and live out that faith. It's interesting that while we are to be like the widow, constant in seeking to hold on to the faith and live for its values in the world, God is the exact opposite of the judge. The man who doesn't give a fig for justice, has not the slightest interest in the woman, and yet in the end grants her request simply because he wants a good night's sleep. Well, God will always hear and respond to our cries for justice. And I know that most of us have cried out to God about something that we feel really deeply about. But this is the burning question for each and every one of you. Is your faith really so important to you that for your faith you are prepared to persevere even in the face of opposition, doubt, and even persecution? Well, I pray that it is, because our faith is fundamental to our whole life, both here and for eternity. And the problem is that we're living in a society which increasingly pays scant regard to faith. So what's the answer? Well, there's no simple answer. But we don't have to look far for the answers. They're staring us in the face. And most of us know what they are. We who have faith must first hold on to it despite what's happening around us. Secondly, we need to keep growing that faith, and that requires that we truly persevere with our faith. And thirdly, we must share our faith with as many people as we possibly can. Paul writes with such urgency to young Timothy. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." And he goes on, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Persevere, cries Paul. Persevere, cries Jesus, because it's the only way. Life is not easy, and neither is having a faith. The only way to succeed in both is to persevere. We can do it when we want to. So want to. I have to admit that sometimes, well no, lots of times, I feel as if I'm banging my head against a brick wall. And I'm sure there are times when you feel the same. But when we know that we are right, we must persevere. And we know that what God has taught us, what he's demonstrated to us, and how he wants us to live in community is right. So we must persevere. You know, we live in a culture that expects a quick fix to all problems. And we can mistakenly carry that attitude over to the weightier matters. But the church's work of prayer is not about a quick fix. It's about laying foundations that will last. My dear friends, our faith is a greater treasure than anything else we are likely to find on earth. And it's up to us to decide if it's worth investing in with all we have. It's up to us to decide whether or not to persevere in growing our faith. And rest assured, although that's not an easy task, God has promised to be with us every step of the journey. And of course, he never breaks his promises. Sometimes we have to persevere for a long time for something we want. And that also applies to our faith. But remember, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Amen. Let's sing, Strength Will Rise.
Upon the Lord, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
Lord our God, you promise to protect us. You hear all of our prayers. You want us to keep talking to you. You are God of everything, and we look up to you. Bless us as we trust in you. Send us out to live and work and pray. Send us out to persevere in growing our faith. Send us out to serve you and your people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.